In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Last week I spoke about the Eucharist in terms of benediction of the Blessed Sacrament, or the exposition of the Blessed Sacrament. And now I want to say a little bit more about that, because it is important that we should understand what's going on here and what it means, rather than what we might imagine it to mean, or what it's been denounced for meaning, when in fact it doesn't mean that at all. There are a number of theories of the way in which Christ is present in the sacrament of the Eucharist. Some of them are quite ludicrous. Some of them are completely inadequate. And others of them, well, they have an attempt to make an attempt to explain something which in the end is not really explicable. The ridiculous one is the doctrine, or I suppose the theory, of Cophanaism, which is always regarded by everybody as a heresy. It comes from the Latin word for Capernaum, and it makes reference to the 6th chapter of St. John's Gospel, where the Lord is speaking to in Capernaum say, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" And they depart from him because they can't cope with this saying. He's just said, of course, "I am the bread that comes down from heaven. He who eats me will live forever," and so on. And they have an excessively literalist view of it. And it's true that some people have thought that in some way it becomes literally, the sacrament becomes literally the body and blood of Christ. Now, paradoxically, in the history of the Western Church, this has got bound up with the traditional Roman Catholic doctrine of transubstantiation. People think that transubstantiation means that the Roman Catholic Church teaches that it literally becomes a physical body and physical blood and things of that kind. And St. Thomas Aquinas, who actually invented this doctrine, did so in order to deny exactly that idea. According to St. Thomas Aquinas, the thing that does not happen is that the bread becomes physically, in our ordinary sense, it does not become the body of Christ. It becomes inwardly, spiritually, whatever, the body of Christ, but not physically the body of Christ. So all the legends about, you know, people wanted to stab the host to see if it bled, things like that, that would make no sense in terms of Thomas Aquinas's teaching, because there's no way in which there is an actual physical change in the sacrament. At the other end, away from Cophanaism and things of that kind, we have Zwinglianism. And Zwinglianism virtually says, well, there's nothing happening at all. It's the body and blood of Christ in the most symbolic sense. That's all it is. It just symbolizes something that's distant in the past. It's just bread and wine, nothing but bread and wine, and that's all there is to it. And the bread and wine symbolize the body and blood of Christ. Now, the Anglican Church has had two traditional doctrines of the way in which the bread and wine are the body and blood of Christ. It's quite clear from Anglican formularies, from the Catechism, 39 articles and so on, that we are expected to believe that we do indeed receive the body and blood of Christ, not as a mere symbol, but as some kind of reality. And indeed, Bishop Guest, who was the bishop who drew up one of the 39 articles, the one that dealt with all of this, said that he expected people to believe that the bread and the wine really were, in some real sense, the body and blood of Christ. Now, there are two traditional doctrines, one which I personally don't believe, and one which I do. The one that I personally don't believe is known as... goodness me, what is it known as? It's known as receptionism. And according to this, it's a bit like the documents that entitle you to a house. If I give you these documents, you become the owner of the house. The documents and the house aren't the same thing. But by giving you the documents, the deeds of title deeds or whatever to the house, you infallibly get the house. And people who believe in this particular doctrine would then believe that this is the way the sacrament works, that when you receive the bread and the wine, they are them not themselves the body and blood of Christ, but somehow they give you, or by means of them, you receive the body and blood of Christ. And then there's the doctrine of real presence. And this is the one which is more, as it were, high church, and certainly the one which I personally would believe, which is, and it works like this. The Lord Jesus Christ, as he walked around in Galilee 2,000 years ago, was both God and a human being, both at the same time, inseparably. If, and I don't mean to be sacrilegious by this, if you took a knife and opened him up and looked inside, you wouldn't find a bit called God. All you would find would be the ordinary human organs, heart, lung, all those sort of things. But he infallibly was God. So that if you took his hand, you could say, this is God's hand. I'm actually touching God. If you heard his voice, you could say, this is God's voice. I'm actually listening to God speaking. And when you saw him, you could say, I am looking at God. Because both the divinity and the humanity of Christ were indissolubly united in one person. Now that's like the doctrine of real presence. According to real presence, it's just bread, just as Christ's hand was just a hand of flesh. But just as you could say, and God, this is God's hand, so you can say of the bread that this is Christ. Just as Christ, as God, made himself present in a human being, so he makes himself present by means of this bread and wine. How he does it, we haven't the faintest clue. And nor should we have the faintest clue. This is the sort of thing that's beyond our ordinary understanding. But if you ask, what does it mean to say this is the body and blood of Christ? It still sounds rather dreadful. My answer to that is, well, what does your body do for you? Your body makes you present. I could invite you to walk out of the church while leaving your body behind. You can't do it. When your body comes into the church, we say, you've come into the church. You and your body, for the moment, in this life, are the same thing. And so, when we say that this is the body of Christ, we are saying what your body does for you. As your body makes you present, so this bread, this consecrated bread, makes Christ, who is God himself, present. That's why it's treated, the sacrament is treated with such reverence and awe, because in some extraordinary way, it is a continuation of the incarnation. It makes Christ present on our altars until the end of time. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.